Blog Talk Radio. morning, all of God's people all over this land. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. When the praises go up, blessings come down. We thank you once again as we come before our Father who art in heaven as he sits at the executive meeting with us, as we break the bread of life and eat the daily manna and drink the living waters. Well, you, I, Nigeria, every country that's on this line, what do not have to thirst anymore. Well, we make God our number one priority, and we just so thankful on this morning that to know that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice. We, not I, not me, not you, but we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We just thank God this morning for waking us up, granting us the new mercies that he does every single day, giving us the opportunity to get what we may have not gotten done right yesterday, to get our praise a little bit stronger, our prayers a little bit stronger, our faith a little bit stronger, definitely our love, most definitely our love. And I'm just so thankful that he keeps counting me in the numbers. I am very, very grateful for the things that God continuously do for me. And as I continue to praise him, I know that my praises are going up and the blessings are coming down. So I say glory, hallelujah. I continue to exalt him. I continue to give him praise for the good, the bad, the ugly, for everything, knowing that he hears me. Why? Because they're pure. They're genuine. There's no ill motives behind it. I'm just lifting up the name of Jesus because of all the things. He's been so good to me that I cannot say anything else. I do it with a joyful heart, even on the days that I'm sick, I'm sad, because when I can wake up and see a new day, I can see the brightness where the sun is coming up. I am just so grateful. So again, good morning with a cheerful heart, and we thank you for continuing for joining in. Minister Chiquita, will you please bring us in prayer?
Good morning, Bethany, and good morning, Saints. Once again, we thank you for tuning in, and it is an awesome thing, once again, to be here with you, to commune with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Always, always an awesome thing, an awesome experience, an awesome feeling. Today, Heavenly Father, I come completely surrendering all my life to you, O God. I adore you, for you are almighty and all-powerful, worthy of all my praise, O God. As I kneel and worship to you, O God, Lord, sometimes, Lord, I feel overwhelmed by what is going on around me and the things that's going on, God, that I'm a loss for words, God. By the working power of the Holy Spirit, God, I know that all I need to do is call on your beautiful, sweet, sounding name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege, O God. I thank you, God, for this, O God. It's truly an awesome thing, O God. Today, God, I come to you to the front to total submission to your will, O God. I completely surrender my life to you, O God. Yours, O God. I am thankful to you, God, for the gift of the life, O God, for fulfilling me with your purpose, O God. No matter what you place me in my life, O God, no matter what you place in my heart, O God, I declare it, God, to the best of my ability, O God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, O God. I thank you, God. Help me, Almighty Spirit, to always think good thoughts, even when the pressure is on, O God, as this will magnify you and glorify you, O God. We thank you, God. I pray, Father, that when temptations come my way, the Holy Spirit will guide me and help me to triumph over whatever situation I face, O God. I thank you for the opportunity, God, I have to live for you and for only you, O God, and to walk in complete obedience with you, O God. I thank you, God, for this is, God, I truly surrender myself to you, O God, like never before, O God. I thank you, God, because your will, God, has always made a way for me, O God. It has made a way for all the saints, O God. We thank you, God, for giving us the feeling of the words and the knowledge and the gifts that
Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody that has breath in their body on this moment, at this time, give God his praise because he is worthy to be praised. I cannot say it enough and I will not stop saying it. I will say it every single day of my life and I will show him every day of my life about how grateful and thankful I am of the praises that he has done for me. Listen, good morning again. Good morning. I was looking through, I call it my little blue book, and I was looking through my little blue book, and I'm telling y'all, I got so many notes from over the 3 years, the past years. I got a blue and a pink. I got two blues and one pink book. They're just like my Bible. My notes are in there. There's notes and countless notes. And one thing about it, I said it before and I'll continue to say it. It's a beautiful thing when you can go back and look over your notes and you can check it off and say, you know what, got it. Or you can check it off and say, I'm striving. Or you can check it off or you've set some goals and different things. And as I was looking over it last night, I was looking at over some of the core values, kingdom principles, and different things that we have been through, been taught. And the greatest thing that I love about our teaching is most of the time illustrations come with them, and I'm grateful for that. And that's something that I miss the most in my Christian walk, in my learning stage, is the teachings and the illustrations to make sure that people get what God is teaching at that moment. Notice I said what God is teaching, what the Holy Spirit, because a lot of people get it confused and feel like it's what man, but when God can give man, woman, child, anybody, teachings and there's illustrations that go with it, is beautiful. And that's one, like I said, that's my thing that I miss the most, because I am a person, you have to show me. It's not what I can, you have to show me, I have to hear it, I have to see it. You can talk it and I will grasp just a little, I will hold on, but I don't have a complete grasp until I can see it into actions. And like I said, I don't know about the rest of you, ADM, I truly miss the teachings with the illustrations. But if you go back, if you took notes, there are so many things that you can go back into, and it's scriptures after scriptures that you can go into and just do a refresher or do some things that's going to help you stay on your path, stay on your way, because that's what's most important, us staying on our path. The teachings are not to go in vain. They're here to help us. So this has nothing to do with the subject this morning, but it has everything to do with me stating that it's something that I miss. It was a great adoration for me, but at the same token, it's not totally gone, because I can go back to my two blue books and my big pink book and look back over my notes. And I'm thankful for my teacher. I am grateful for all the work that God has poured into him, and he allowed it to come into the congregations and those that grasped it, those that grasped, those that understood what God was saying to them for such a time as this, and even beyond this, to know that there is glory on, you know, that we are kingdom citizens, that there we do need structure, that there is protocol that needs to be taken, you know, that needs to be put in place. We do need to be accountable, reliable. We do need to submit ourselves. Our relationship with God is a love relationship. It's a courtship that turns into a marriage. Oh, it's just so many, the homiletics, the apologetics, just so many things that has been taught. And I'm just, again, I'm grateful as I say that. So moving on, I know I get a little long-winded sometimes, but I'm telling you, people look for blessings. They're always looking for material things, but me at this point, point in life. It has nothing to do with my age. Some people say you should be to the place where you're at. No, it has everything for what to know what God is into you. And those things that he's pouring into you, you're able to share them with somebody else. That's one thing I love about my mother. If she gets into a place, a hard place, she'll see, call me or text me. 1, 2, 3, don't matter, have no type of, she don't care what time it is. Can you look into your blue book? Can you look into your pink book and tell me what was said about this? What was taught about this? Do you know how good that makes me feel? It makes me feel wonderful. That, and my mother is of another denomination, but it makes me feel wonderful that I am able and that she knows my books. She knows what, besides the Bible, what I'm constantly in and what I can pull out of those books. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that God keeps it on my mind for me to write and to keep things. And I call it, it's like a rabbit that you're pulling out of the hat, but it's not the rabbit. It's God's information that you're able to bring to the table to help somebody else that may be older than you, that may have wisdom, more wisdom than you. But the thing of it is you're able to help them, and that's where I'm at on today. So, again, I want to thank Apostle Temple. I want to call the name as it is. I want to thank him and let him know I'm so grateful for all that he has poured into me, and not just me, the congregation, but I'm going to be a little selfish today. I'm going to say me because I write it down. It don't matter. I'm going to write it down. If I got to sit and ask 10 or 15 questions, I'm going to write it down. So I'm thankful on today because it has opened up my vision, opened up my eyesight, my insight, my hindsight, everything. It has opened me up, and I'm grateful today. And if it wasn't for that, it was a very intricate part of my life that has me here on today with gladness and just grateful to do the assignment that God has put me here to do. Moving forth, last night I was reading about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, the account is in different books, but I went into Mark 10, and I want to start reading from 46, and I'll go to 51, and it's the subtitle is that when Jesus when Jesus heals a blind beggar, pay attention. They gave the beggar, not just was he a beggar, they gave him a name. He was a blind beggar, although he had a name of Bartimaeus. They did an illustration. They had to put a pinpoint to let him know that he was a blind beggar. And everybody knows that a beggar is somebody that's always got their hands out. Don't no matter where you at, they'll come up to your car, they'll wash your windshield, they'll put up signs, whatever for food, I need food, I work for food, I'll do whatever, you know. And then we got some people that's just genuine beggars, just beg, just to beg. But on today we're talking about blind Bartimaeus. And the scripture says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I got several points that I stayed up and wrote about, wrote on this scripture last night in reference to the blind beggar Barnabas. But the way that the Holy Spirit brought it to me, it was a couple of things that stuck out. One, like I said, they gave him a name. They called them blind Barnabas, the blind beggar, instead of it being Barnabas. It was made very clear that he was blind. He could not see. Therefore, he was living in a dark place. And I'm going a little bit ahead, and I'm going to come back. If you notice, Barnabas, when he heard about Jesus, he didn't have to see. When he heard, and you have to understand, this is a blind man, so he could not see the miracles that were taking place. He had to hear of the miracles. He positioned himself. And on today, I want to tell you, position, when I speak about position, I'm talking about your stance, your posture, where you are. You may be seated or you may be standing. That's where most people look and they understand the word position. But I want to say, when Barnabas positioned himself, he put himself in a place of surrender. Render. So today we're going to look at the word and speak of and use the word position or posture as surrender. And then we're going to speak about some of the core values that I was able to identify through my teachings that took place in this story with Barnabas. First of all, I want to say this with Barnabas. His core values. The core values was Barnabas relied on Jesus. When he heard them calling, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, they didn't talk about Mark. They didn't talk about Matthew. They didn't talk about the different disciples. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming into the city of Jericho, he positioned himself in a place where Jesus could hear him. And Barnabas got into a place where he started yelling, and the people, they shunned him. They put their nose down, because I want to sit and say that even though I wasn't there, just knowing on today's time what a beggar do, they get loud, they get obnoxious, they get into a place where they become a pest. So the people told Barnabas to be quiet. They said to be quiet. Basically, they were telling him, shut up. Jesus not going to acknowledge you, beggar. He's not going to acknowledge you. Get out of it. Just leave him alone. But see, I want to tell you something different. Barnabas being in a place, in a position where he was able to call on Jesus, he relied on Jesus, and then the second thing was he was focused. Remember, he's blind. He could not see. Focus is another core value for the kingdom, being focused, relying on something. Relying is a core value of the kingdom. Barnabas, blind Barnabas, he was focused on Jesus, although he couldn't see him. This is the other thing. Once Jesus called for him, he called for him. Everybody changed the way they spoke to him. What they told him, oh, cheer up. He's calling for you. Understand, Barnabas called for Jesus, and Jesus answered. That takes me back into the scripture where Jesus is on the other side of the door. And see, Barnabas called with a cry out to Jesus, and as the people continued to shun him, the blind beggar, and tell him to be quiet, as he was calling out, Jesus stopped what he was doing, and he said, tell him to come here. Once Jesus called for him, Barnabas submitted. That submission, submitted, that's another core value. That's another core value for a kingdom, for the kingdom. Barnabas, he submitted to Jesus. And what I want to sit and say to us is, when Jesus calls on us, after we have shown him our hearts and minds are pure and our motives are genuine, He answers with the question. He says, evangelist, what do you want me to do for you? He tells you that too, Nigeria. He speaks to everybody that's under the sound of my voice this morning. And see, what you notice is that Barnabas had been surrendered all. He was sold out. He had been gave himself away because he knew that that was the most important day of his life. It didn't matter that he was a beggar. It didn't matter that he was blind, but today was the day that I'm going to receive my miracle. And see, I'm relying on it. I'm focused. I don't care what the people are saying. I don't care if you know me as a blind beggar. I don't care if I'm obnoxious. I don't care if you feel like that I'm just doing a bit too much. But see, sometimes you and I have to be into a place where we do a bit too much. And when I say we doing a bit too much, that means that we are praying, we are fasting, we are welling out for the Lord in our situations. Blind Barnabas was in a place where he knew that today could have been. He came there with an expectation. He knew that that day that he was healed could be the day that he would never, first of all, you never see another day, the same day in your life. But one thing about it, you can put yourself into a place that's blind Barnabas. You can position yourself, take a stance, be into a place where you can receive what God has for you. Because I want to tell you something. It's something about the name of Jesus. See, one thing about Barnabas, Barnabas called, he identified Jesus for who he was. If you go back and you look at the scripture, he told him, it wasn't just he called him Jesus. He called him, he said, Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, son of David, have mercy on me. See, Barnabas knew who was the healer. Barnabas knew who was the deliverer. Barnabas knew who would be the person that could change his life. And see, I want to talk to some of the Barnabas this morning and those that's not Barnabas. If you can position yourself, and remember I said position is surrender. If you could surrender your all unto the Lord and let him know, I have to rely on you. I've got to stay focused on you. I have to submit myself to you in order for me. And see, when you are relying on him, when you are focused on him, and then you submit yourself to him, it's a total submission. You're not doing something half-hearted. Barnabas didn't do anything half-hearted. Barnabas didn't have, even though he was a beggar, beggars, people say beggars have motive. Beggars would sit and ask you for food and go and buy dope. Beggars would sit and do different things. But one thing about this blind beggar, when Jesus called him, that's the thing. Jesus said, come, tell him to come to me. And when he came to him, Jesus said, what is it that you would have me to do for you? I want to sit and tell you all today, I don't care what your circumstances is. God don't, it is not even about me. God don't know what your circumstances is. People may have named you, may have given you some of the worst names in the world because of your past, because of what they see you do. The problem is that how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to stay into a place where you let people take you out of your position where God is ready to bless you? And you miss the mark, or are you going to be like Barnabas? You're going to get obnoxious. You're going to get into a place where I don't care what you're saying to me. Do you not understand? This is the man that I know. I haven't seen it, but I know. I know because I can hear. My hearing is a little bit keener because I cannot see. I know it because I've heard all of the miracles that he has performed. And this is why today I got up, I put on my coat. I don't know what the weather was, but it says when Jesus called for him, Barnabas took that coat and slung it to the side, and he got up and he went to Jesus. I want to tell you all today, there are some Barnabas. There are some people situations that's going on. There are some people deep down rooted in their soul that they know that God can make, Jesus can make a difference, because we have identified him as being the healer, as being the deliverer. There are some people, but one thing I want to sit and say to you, see, we always focus on the faith. He did have faith. But one thing in my learning, one thing in my teaching that I learned, with that faith, it has to be coupled with trust. And that trust has to put you into a place where you believe. And without that trust and that belief, there is no faith. If you cannot trust, see, Barnabas, even though he could not see, he trusted that God, that Jesus was going to heal him. It didn't matter how things looked, even though he did not see how it looked. See, some of us have situations before us that we're looking for one thing. But I want to sit and tell you on today, Jesus said it's not how it looks. It's not how it is. The way it looks is not how it is. Barnabas was upon a crowd that he could not even see. But yet, he saw it all. And see, when he, one thing about us, we would love to stay in a dark place instead of going into the light. When Barnabas asked Jesus to heal him, to take away the blindness, I want to sit and say that he was saying, I'm tired of living in darkness. I'm tired of being in a place, and I'm talking about in the natural now. A lot of us like to stay in the dark when we can come on in to our spiritual realm and be in the light. All you need to do is submit yourself to God, to Jesus, and tell him, I surrender all to you. This is my position today. I'm surrendering to you. And it doesn't matter what everybody else has to say, because see, let me be honest about it. A lot of us know that we're ready. We are at a place where we're ready. We're tired and sick and tired of going through the same thing. So we are a Barnabas. But we worry about what our peers are going to say. We worry about what the people are going to say, because we've allowed them, our actions have allowed them to label us. Our actions have allowed them to label us as a liar, as a backstabber, as a drunkard, as a person with an addiction, as a prostitute, whatever it may be. So because we are worried about what other people are going to say, we choose not to come forth when Jesus says, come to me. See, you may have been calling him in your secret time. You may call him when you in your alone time. But one thing I love about Barnabas, Barnabas cried out in the public. Barnabas, there was no shame. So what, you see me as a beggar? But what I need you to understand, you can call me a beggar, but today, this moment, is not going to pass me by. And Barnabas came knowing it didn't matter. That's what I'm trying to say to you all today. Wherever you at, it doesn't matter what you was on yesterday. What is going on with you today? What have God said? When Jesus say, come to me, because you have called him in the midnight hour. You may have called him in the scorching heat of the noonday. It doesn't matter. But when he called you, are you able to do as Barnabas did? Are you able to do as the blind beggar? Are you letting Jesus know, I'm relying on you? I am so focused on this moment. I'm focused on you, and I'm ready to submit. I'm ready to give myself away, because the darkness is just too much. I've lived this way for so long, and again, I'm talking about the natural darkness. People love to stay in their same natural way. They love to stay in poverty. You got people that want to. I'm not going to say love, because I'm not everybody else, but I can speak for me. I can speak for Evangelist Nita. As long as I was in a comfortable place doing things and living in the best hotels and riding around in the fanciest cars and getting on paid for jets and doing different things and everything was, I was all comfortable knowing that it was wrong because, see, I was in the darkness thinking that I was in the light. Anytime that Satan becomes your God, then you are in the dark. And a lot of us sit and say, oh, that's a deep statement. But as we learned, there you cannot serve two masters. If you are not serving Jesus, that means that you are on the other side. You on the evil side. You in that side where the witchcraft and all those different things take place. And one thing I want to sit and say to you, and I can give you a testimony about it, is when you are on that side, you remain in that darkness. You stay in that darkness. And even when you call on Jesus for him to bring you out and he give you that light, because you are so comfortable in that dark place, you want to stay in that blind place, even though you know better not to stay in that blind place. But that blind place is making you feel like you are somebody. That blind place is making you feel like that you're on top of the world. But I want to sit and tell you today, it's better when the light come in. It's better when you ain't got to look over your back. It's better when you sitting and you let people know that I am who I am in Christ. I am the person that I was, the blind beggar. I was the prostitute. I was the cheater. I was the manipulator. I was the person that did everything from the other side. Because when you learn, a lot of us, because you're not in a Bible, and I'm going to say it, you're not in a Bible teaching church. You're not in a church where people are going to hold you accountable. You're not in a church that's going to tell you what you're doing is wrong, what you're saying is wrong, how you're acting is wrong. No, God, don't put that on God. God didn't do that for you. You better call it like it is. I'm sitting and telling you on today, the best thing could have happened to me in that late December of 2018 when God said, this is where you position yourself. This is your stance. This was where you will learn your posture. This is where you will get it all. And this is where you will, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. But I want to sit and tell somebody today, it's not a long sermon. It's just that easy. When Jesus says to you, come to me, come to me. He told the people, have him to come to me. Jesus, that means Jesus called him. Jesus acknowledged him. Jesus heard his cry. Jesus stopped. One thing about Jesus, we can find several accounts where Jesus walked the earth and he healed people by their faith. Because one thing we know, he's a merciful. God is a merciful God. And Jesus had no problems for the people that cried and asked him for mercy. The lepers asked for mercy. Only one of them, he healed them. Only one of them came back. It was another lady cried from a distance to heal her. Jesus, have mercy on my daughter. And she was healed instantly because she believed that Jesus was who he says that he is. And he can do what he says that he can do. And I'm today, in 2021, see, we talking about now way over 2,000 years ago. But on today, I can sit and tell you, when I cry out to the Lord, and I sit and say, Lord, this is what he says, what is it I can do for you? And when I cry out, and see, this is the thing, I'm talking to somebody, you always looking for the audible voice. But when God put people in your life and they call you just out of the blue and say, what is it that I can do for you? That lets me know that God is acknowledging some things that I have done. I might have been that person in my wrongness that just passed out money, but does that count? How many people did I turn unto Jesus, or how many people did I let them stay, did I allow them to stay into the darkness? I want to tell you on today that Jesus is calling you. You know who you are. You know who you in secretly are crying out to the Lord because you're too embarrassed about what people have said about you. You're too embarrassed that people got dirt on you. You're too embarrassed and too ashamed to call on him publicly because you scared people going to come up and tell you to be quiet and start talking your business. But I again tell you about Evangelist Meter, naked and unashamed. I was exposed, and guess what? I stepped up into it. I stepped up and said, yes, this is what I did. This is who I was, and I still do it today. Because one thing I realized that my testimony can help somebody. My testimony can let you know that you don't have to worry about what the naysayers. Have you ever thought about this? Those that are constantly reminding you, they're still in the dark. They're not crying out to Jesus in a secret place. They're still in their dirt. They're still in their mess. They don't want to hear the messages. They don't want to see you go into the light. So they're constantly reminding you. They're constantly holding you back. I tell you today, as Barnabas pushed that coat to the side, you push their hands to the side, you jump up and you go to the Lord and meet him where he's at, so he can ask you, what is it that he can do for you on today? The best thing that has ever happened to me in my life has nothing to do with a material thing. It has everything to do with my position in Christ. My position, me surrendering my all to Christ and telling him, I surrender all to you. My thoughts, my heart, my mind. The days that I fall, I don't have a problem with looking you in your face and say I failed. I don't have a problem with saying I'm sorry with the true repentance, because that's the relationship that I have with God. The Holy Spirit puts me in that place. Even when I sit and tell a lie, he's going to have me go back and fix it in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes we put in situations where we fall short, and instead of being embarrassed or instead of being wherever, we get into a place where we will sit and tell what we might think is a white lie, but it becomes into a big lie, lies that can change circumstances. So I sit and tell you on today, come out of your darkness and go into the light. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Hey, good morning. God bless you. God bless everyone. Amen. Good morning. You know, this is a very serious topic. And what I mean by very serious topic, it is very serious. See, this is why you cannot have a judgmental eye. I call it, you need to stay in your own lane, worry about your own family, and worry about your own self. Because the moment you begin to come outside of that, and begin to do other stuff and different things. The moment you come outside of that and you begin to go and do different things and begin to talk about different things, even cast judgment on people, you could get yourself in trouble with God. Why is that? Just as Evangelist been talking about Barnabas and about his situation and different things like that, it's many people, it's like that. You probably know a lot about people past, and you're still holding people according to their past, where they probably not had a come to Jesus moment. They probably not had a moment to where they don't identify their issues, and they don't laid everything before the Lord, and the Lord don't forgive them, and they already off to a fresh new start. And here come we, or here comes some judgmental people, and the saints of God are like that. They'll quit to say who ain't no good. They quit to say that, quit to establish that who ain't no good, but we also quit out of the other side of our mouth, we also quit to say forgive somebody. You know, so we got two different talkers out of our side of our mouth, amen? So you got to be very careful even with that, because people already got converted and asked God to forgive them, moved on with their life, and here come folks, you know, we want to still hold people accountable to the things that they've done in the past, and now you put your mouth on them for what their past is, and God is reestablishing who they are today, but you still trying to take them back to yesterday. Do you know that is a form of witchcraft? That is a form of black magic that you are doing over individuals. That's why it's very important for you to stay in your lane, worry about yourself, worry about your family, whoever got something going on. Well, you heard it in one ear, but it came out quicker than you heard it, because you know what? That ain't none of your business. At the end of the day, if it ain't come across your life, your doorstep, or personally things didn't happen to you, that's you stay out of it. You don't have no reason to have a judgment in place, because we don't know if folks did it, didn't do it, what caused it, where they at with the Lord, how they are with the Lord. We don't know, amen? And we still trying to crucify people to their past where Jesus done had, where they don't had a personal encounter with the Lord. You got to understand something. God is going to have a personal encounter individually with you. He's not going to bring the whole group and give you a whole platform and let everyone see, let everyone who know you and know the things that you've done is going to put it out there and say, all right, everyone, y'all get on your TVs. I'm finna show y'all that I already converted that individual. No, that's a personal thing between that individual and the Lord. So you don't know. The best thing you could do, stay away from it. Keep your mouth out of it. Amen. Leave it alone. Amen. Don't touch it. Amen. Because we all fall. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And who's can save? Amen. And something about the Christian belief, you know, we have this a tendency what we write about. You know, we write about. I'm going to tell you something. None of you don't know what you write about. All we know what we believe. And according to our belief, we feel as though our belief is right for whatever reason, for whatever reason. Because we all learn in history. We all learn in history. We wasn't back then. We did not live 2,000 years ago or 2,000 AD BC. Amen. We live in today. Amen. Some of us have been on this earth 70, 80 years ago. But we're talking about something that was 2,000 and 3,000 years ago. So we got to understand something. We have a belief. So we got to get out of this thing, what is right, what ain't right, what is approved, what ain't approved, because there's many things in the Bible, amen, that a lot of people don't took out, and they don't take the whole context of what the Bible says, amen, and begin to labor this thing. So we have a belief, and hopefully our belief that we have, when we transition, my God, one day from this life to the next, we believe right. We believe correctly. Amen? That's why I walk closely to what the Bible says than anything else. Amen? Because anything else outside of that, amen, you could be jeopardizing your spiritual walk. You could be jeopardizing your spiritual life. So always remember, thanks to God, folks do get converted. Folks do get delivered. Just like at one point, you probably been delivered. You had to see the light. And just at one point that you probably was doing everything underneath of the sun, then you had to wise up, or whatever happened or transpired in your life, you got serious and you probably got saved and got saved for real. Amen? Well, the same thing happened to you. Others can happen to others, but they probably don't know what happened to you, and you probably don't know what happened to them, but yet they holding you to the things you did in the past and saying you no good. Then others be holding the other people to the things in the past that they said ain't no good, not knowing that God don't wash the way they totally changed and they walk in. Stay in your lane. Amen? That way we just thank God. We just bless people. At the end of the day, I stay in my lane regardless of what I hear. At the end of the day, if it doesn't come across my doorstep or come across my, you got to accept people for who they are. And what I mean by that, for what they present to you, amen, not from the history of what is told about them, but what is presented to them, and let who they are tell the story about them, amen, and don't let their past. I'm pretty sure that many of a thousand of you on this line this morning, you'll hate for someone bring up a past, amen, that you used to do and you don't do no more. I leave that right there. Back to you, Evangelist.
Stay in your lane. I like that. Stay in your lane. Know what Jesus is available, what he's ready to do for you and I, because that's how much he loves us. That's where that love thing comes in, just knowing that he wants to heal us. He wants to bless us. He wants to take us out of that dark place. And I sit and say unto today, don't let nobody hold you back. to do what you know that's right. I am a kingdom citizen. I want to flourish as I would in heaven, as it is on earth. I want to be in that place of prosperity. I want my fruits to bear so many fruits that I have a great choice to pick from. So I sit and say to you all today, stay in your lane and let go and let God, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Stop letting man, women, whoever tell you not to go this route. Don't let people hold you back when God is calling you. When Jesus is saying, come to me, let them come to me and then have you face to face to ask you, what is it that I can do for you? That is a powerful thing. It's a powerful knowing that we have that is an option for us. As we know, we have free will, free choice to do. You don't have to be that person that's still standing back. Let go and let God, and remember to stay in your lane. Listen, ADM loves you, but God loves you most. We appreciate every time that you come on the line with us and hear what God has to say. We appreciate the thought of knowing that there is trust in Jesus. There is belief in Jesus, that you, there is a knowing that you know you are comfortable in Jesus, that you know what he can do for you, and you know who you are in Christ. Don't let nobody, I don't care who it is, mother, husband, brother, sister, best friend, I don't care who it is. Don't let nobody hold you back, and do not allow anybody to keep your past in front of your face. The past is the past, and it deserves, it is supposed to, and it shall, in the name of Jesus, remain behind you. When a person come up and try to put it in your face, what you need to do is you don't turn around. You just tell them, excuse me, let me come through you. Let me keep moving because I got a place to be. I got a meeting with Jesus. He called me. He said, come to me. And then he asked, what are you going to do for me? What should I do for you? So allow Jesus to be the blessing. Allow Jesus to open up what you already know that you are asking for. Stop allowing people to stay in your past, to bring your past up, and you stop bringing your own past up and start and using it as a crutch to make other people feel bad. See, that was another learning lesson I had to learn in July. You cannot be into a place where you are constantly reminding people of the things that you have went through. Because who are you hurting? You just hurting yourself. Allow Jesus to be the reason that you are no longer living in the past. Listen, we love you. We will see you all back on here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. sharp. Just go around today. Just give God the praises. Let him know, thank you. I thank you, Lord, that I'm no longer in the darkness. I am now in the light. I am a kingdom citizen, Lord. Just pour more into me. Teach me, Lord, because I'm ready to learn in the name of Jesus. So, again, we'll see you back tomorrow morning. You all have a peaceful Tuesday in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, a peaceful Wednesday in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thursday, hallelujah. Have a good day. I'm all messed up because that stay in your lane, it did something to me. Y'all have a great day in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Sun told, I'm not another day. I've got a lot to say. Put them together. He's been good. Say, hey. Well, I've got new life sublime. say, hey.